Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Dominator.
Here's John Williams.
John, using nicknames now. It's 107 on WGN. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Here till 3.
Lord have mercy.
Remember, just before 3 o'clock, we'll do something called The Bright Side. We wrap up our week and begin your weekend just before Ro and Anna come in for their Fun Friday show with something called The Bright Side. It's where you call in, tell us some good news in your world, why you are smiling. We'll all smile together. I don't care how good or bad a week has been for any of us or all of us. When we do that, we all feel a little bit better, and you can do this. That's your assignment. If right now you aren't thinking of something that, oh, I'm pretty glad about that, you've got a couple of hours to do it. It's an assignment whose exercise you will thank me for later in the show. What's your bright side? We'll do that at 2:43-ish. Domi Tipango will then get up tomorrow morning, and he'll come in and do the news for us on Saturday. You working Saturday, Doe? Or as I called him, Dominator.
Yes, I am. I will be here tomorrow.
You just ran away from the microphone. Thank you for sprinting back.
Yes.
I know why you left the microphone, by the way. The Girl Scout cookies are here. The Girl Scout cookies are here. Oh, my God, the Girl Scout cookies are here.
And you're keeping me from them.
Say that again, guys.
What's your favorite?
Well, I'm so old school about this. Shortbread? I'll get the Thin Mints because that's what we do. But really, my favorite is the shortbread cookie. They used to do a lemon cream that I loved, but I'd say those are my three. I did not order any in advance, but since they've been coming in, I have been ordering them and just buying the extra boxes that members of the staff have. I bought 5 boxes today. I've already consumed 1 sleeve of Thin Mints. How about you, Domi? What's your favorite flavor?
I'm with you on the shortbread, but I hate to admit it, I don't like Thin Mints that much.
All right. You will then have to renounce your citizenship. It's the United States Girl Scouts, son. Get with the program.
I know. That's like not liking apple pie or baseball. I know.
I don't like apple pie.
Violetta, what's your favorite Girl Scout cookie?
I like the peanut butter sandwiches. I don't know what they're called.
Are those the Savannahs?
Maybe Savannahs, yeah. And Samoas?
Those are the Samoans.
Samoans.
Yeah. Or maybe those are people from a Pacific Island nation. But I think I know the cookies you're talking
with
about.
With the coconut and chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The drizzle on them?
Yeah.
So those are yours.
I mean, and obviously the Thin Mints.
Have you bought any of those or eaten any of those today?
No, I just like to mooch off other people.
That's really what you do, too, because it's so funny. Everybody buys Girl Scout cookies this way. Oh, sure. Ooh, I love these. I'll help out the Girl Scouts. I mean, you've got that sort of two things working for and against you. Help out the Girl Scouts. How about the parents of the Girl Scouts? And get some swell cookies. $5, whatever. But then you get them. And nobody wants to eat them, / everybody wants to eat them. So we're all going, oh, no, I'll just take 6. And then you eat them a little
bit. I like
to
do it in person, though, you know, like outside the Jewel or outside somewhere where the kids are like holding up their colorful signs. And I don't know. It's nice. Plus, you feel kind of guilty not buying some when they're so cute.
Yeah, to be honest with you, that's my problem with the kids at tables in front of the Jewels when they're selling their Girl Scout cookies or.
And they're so diligent.
Well, you know? I know it. And it's like, we go to the grocery store a lot and they don't remember me, just as a for instance. And then I don't know, I don't like constantly being solicited over and over again. So I don't love them.
You want them to give out a sticker that says, I've already bought some?
Kinda. Or I want them to just not be there and make it a lot easier for me. But either way, them are some good cookies, and we are enjoying them here. We will talk about the serious news today, including this breaking news that Robert Mueller's office has indicted 13 Russians for meddling in the U.S. election. So who does this connect to? The defendants, according to CNN, posed as U.S. persons, created false U.S. personas, and operated social media pages and groups designed to attract U.S. audiences, according to the indictment. The Internet Research Agency, that's the organization that did this, had a strategic goal to sow discord in the U.S. political system. They said the Russians posted derogatory information about a number of candidates, but by mid-2016, they supported Trump and disparaged Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton. They bought ads and communicated with, quote, unwitting, close quotes, people tied to the Trump campaign and others to coordinate political activities. My read of that is that it's connected to the Trump campaign, but that the people didn't know it. So is that a crime, and how high up does it go?
Well, it's a crime. What do you mean? It's a crime. It might not be a crime.
If I was...
It might not be a campaign crime, but if the people who are doing it are trying...
Oh, pardon me. Absolutely, right? Steve. Yeah. No, what I'm wondering is, if anybody in the Trump campaign were complicit but were so unwittingly, then did they commit a crime? That's what I'm wondering about. But in terms of these indictments against these Russian nationals, they've been indicted and they're going to be charged with things that are crimes, that's for sure. But they have not said anybody in the Trump organization or campaign has been indicted. And while they say they are connected, it says they communicated with unwitting people tied to the Trump campaign. They haven't said that they are being charged. And I think that's what we're waiting for. We've long known that these Russian cells were creating accounts or personas and then sort of polluting our internet with bogus information or bogus accounts. And towards the end of the campaign, it looked like they were pulling for one side. But if they were doing so in coordination with anybody in the Trump campaign... And I don't want to say that's what we're waiting for, because either way, it appears to have happened. But if the Trump campaign were complicit, this so far does not say that. This, as I read it, does not say that. I've only got one sheet on it in front of me, so I'm not the expert here, but that's what I'm reading so far. Who these Russian nationals are specifically, I don't have their names, and I don't know that I would recognize them. Here are some names. We'll follow that story throughout the rest of the day, and then the next day, and then really the rest of your life. So here's the set of names that you might recognize. I posted on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. We created a handy little scorecard for you. It is members of the Illinois congressional delegation who received NRA campaign contributions in 2016. We posted a list of the Illinois congressional delegation who received NRA campaign contributions in 2016. That includes our U.S. senators. Dick Durbin's not on the list. Tammy Duckworth is, to the tune of $50. But Darren LaHood, Rodney Davis, John Shimkus, Mike Bost, Randy Hultgren, Adam Kinzinger, and Peter Roskam are all on that list. All of them received $2,000 or more towards their campaigns in 2016. We also posted their NRA scores, the NRA scores legislators on their gun legislation friendliness. Tammy Duckworth gets a 7%. She fails. All the rest of them, all of them in the House and all of them Republicans, get an A, 93% for each of them. We reached out to each of them to come on and explain to us their views on some of the gun laws in this country and what we can or should do about that. None of them were able to join us today. Raja Krishnamoorthy was, and he's on line 7. He is a Democrat in the Illinois congressional delegation. Raj, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How much of this is on the You know, there was a very poignant piece of video that circulated in the last 18 hours or so, and it's of the mother of one of the kids that were killed in Florida, and she is just screaming. Her heart is breaking. And when the anchors, they cut back to the anchors on CNN after having let this woman have her say, they can't even pull themselves together. It's just crushing. But she's screaming at the president. She wants Donald Trump to make the school safer. Can the president do that? And can the Congress do that? And if so, how?
Absolutely, John. I think it's the responsibility of Congress and the president to do that. You know, this is the 30th mass shooting this year, the 18th in a school in 45 days. 21 people have died in a school shooting now this year alone. I thought that Newtown would be the turning point in terms of making it clear that what we have on the books with regard to gun ownership is not right, and that we need to have common sense gun restrictions. But that didn't seem to be the turning point. And now thoughts and prayers cannot be enough. We have to move forward. You may already know this, but 92% of Americans, including 87% of Republicans, favor universal background checks. And even 75% are in favor of 30-day waiting periods for all gun sales. Neither of those has any chance of passing in this Congress. And that's because of what you said before. There's a political wall of resistance by the gun lobby to any of these changes. I come from Peoria, where gun ownership was common, and guns were used for sportsmanship, marksmanship, hunting, and so forth. But even people in Peoria would be outraged at what's going on right now, in my humble belief, with regard to the completely unrestricted access to guns and, quite frankly, weapons of mass destruction, such as the AR-15.
Yeah, I don't know how you're able to do it. I would, though, and by the way, you're noting, as we did yesterday, that there have been 18 shootings in the last 45 days is suspect this way. I mean, it's just not right. And maybe you haven't caught up with that detail. It's too many. But the organization that puts that list out, that Bernie Sanders and Cher and all of the major news networks across the country retweeted and reposted, it's an organization that keeps a tally on gun shootings. They say that they post, as a gun shooting, any use of a firearm in a school building or on school grounds. They include, though, say, an instance where a man who was going to commit suicide, and I think eventually did so in the parking lot of a school in Michigan. The school had been closed for months. There were no students there. There was no school in operation there. But technically, it was the operation of a firearm on school grounds. There was another instance where in Michigan, somebody shot a gun in a school parking lot. Nobody was injured, and it wasn't any kind of a shooting of people, but it counts because they want that number to be as high as possible. They're advocates. So let's be careful what statistics we throw around. If it was just one, it's too many. And I think that's the bottom line point here. But back to what we can do. The AR-15, can you write a bill that specifically targets one gun and just makes it impossible or much more difficult to get that?
You know, it would be, it may be possible, but I would only want to say that if you target one particular gun or one make and model, then there might be others of a similar class that might not be affected by that particular restriction. And I think what we're talking about here is a class of weaponry that's not it's not in the same league as a handgun. This is a semi-automatic weapon, and by the way, with a bump stock, can become a machine gun. We just mention one thing very quickly. After the Las Vegas shooting, where actually 58 people died, that's the worst mass shooting that at least I'm aware of. There was apparently what appeared to be a consensus about outlawing that bump stock accessory, which transforms a semi-automatic weapon into a machine gun.
Yeah.
And for the first time, I thought we would see some bipartisanship with regard to outlawing that. But that even failed. And that failed because the gun lobby put a brick on it in Congress, even when Republicans introduced measures to outlaw it, in the House. And so this is, we're not in the right place, to say the least, John.
What about this business of Barack Obama signing an order when he was president after Sandy Hook that would put people who cannot get their driver's license because of a mental illness or on Social Security because of a mental illness, it would put those 75,000 people on an FBI watch list and would make it, I guess, impossible for them to buy a gun because of their mental illness. If you can't drive a car, say, or on some sort of disability, then maybe you shouldn't have a gun. shortly after he became president, in the next month, Donald Trump rescinded that order. Do you know much about that? And is that something that we could revisit?
Yeah, that was a painful day again. Around February of last year, so 1 year ago, you're correct. Congress passed and the president signed a bill to revoke, you know, this Obama-era rule that restricted gun purchases for people with mental illnesses. You know, I'd like to see that type of measure brought back. Obviously, we want to, you know, there's just without boring your listeners to tears, there is some back and forth. I think it's legitimate back and forth between people in the privacy community who are concerned that, you know, sharing background information about people with mental illnesses can really stigmatize them and then ultimately prevent them from getting access to jobs and so forth. I feel that there are ways to restrict the dissemination of that information and in any case make sure that folks who have serious issues don't have access to a firearm.
Yeah, that's interesting because you're right. Advocates for people with mental health issues, civil libertarians actually did not like that thing. They said, why is it that because I have a mental illness, you think I'm violent and you deny me my Second Amendment? So these things aren't always as easy as you might think. I'm not saying any of this is easy, but I think we have to do something. And I'll probably say this after the next shooting, too. And Raj, I hope that you and your colleagues can get something done.
I hope so too, John. And I just want to say one last word to your listeners, whether they're Republicans or Democrats or Independents. If this issue matters to you, please bring it up with your members of Congress and your senators, and take it to the ballot box. You know, you have to vote on the basis of it as well.
Well, here's the straight A list on my Facebook page, and you know the language.
I think I got an A.
You did not, my friend. You, in fact, do you know? Did you get any money from the NRA PAC?
No, of course not. And I think I got an F minus, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah. I just to make it clear, John, I think like. There is a Second Amendment. People agree that in our country we're unique in the world in terms of those Second Amendment rights, but there's a limit. And now we are crossing that limit where, you know, people, good people, honest people, need to have a real discussion about what are common sense restrictions on the access to gun ownership.
Raj Krishnamoorthy, thanks for your time this afternoon, sir.
Thank you, sir.
He's a Democrat, Illinois congressman. By the way, the language we posted with this post on my Facebook page said, here's how to contact these guys. Here's their grade. Here's how much money they got from the NRA. Call them or email them and tell them, good job. Keep doing what you're doing. Or tell them the opposite. It's your call, but I think today's a good day to reach out to these people. Talk a little bit about the Olympics in the next half hour. The internet and Twitter and Facebook can be repositories sometimes of just nuttiness. And then sometimes the interwebs get it just right, and you're so glad people are out there saying stuff they're saying. And last night, if you were watching the Olympics, you're saying, okay, bring on that Nathan Chen dude. Let's see the men do that quadruple skating, man. And they kept delaying it and delay it, and you're watching people go down the hill on skis, which is fine, but we're there for the skating. And they said on the TV guide, we'll show you those guys doing the jumping and the skating. And then they didn't until after the 10 o'clock news, which, as you know, is past many people's bedtimes. And the interwebs was ticked about that. They go, are you kidding me? You promote your primetime Olympic lineup, and then you don't put the one thing everybody wants. What are you doing to us? They put it on the other side.
So the choice was downhill skiing or prancing around on skates? I would take the skiing every time.
I wish they would show the speed on the skiing. It sometimes flashes up in the upper left-hand corner, but you don't really have a sense of how fast they're going, except you know they're going fast. I would keep the speedometer up there the whole time. And I'd also put up things that we would relate to, like if they lined the downhill course with Starbucks and crosswalks and pedestrians, then you'd have a sense of zoom, 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 how fast they're going by. Now, in this scene, a lot of people are going to die, but in general, at least it would give you a sense of, you know, some context. You'd see how fast they're going. Otherwise, it's just against a white landscape, and it's and that's swell. But imagine if they did what I thought, or if they put the skating on at the right time. more about the Olympics and more of your thoughts on the other news of the day after this news, which comes up in just a minute. This building is just falling apart. The Chicago Tribune and WGN Radio are exiting it. It's going to be turned into condos. And during this period of transition, nobody seems to care. And I'm going to miss this building. But it's just funny because, like, the gate to the parking lot today,
yeah.
Some of us are lucky enough to have parking privileges, but it's not working. So they had to get one of the poor security guards stand downstairs all day long in the parking lot and wave people around because the gate doesn't work.
They're making it so it will be enjoyable to leave.
Well,
they're sweating us out, literally, for you down there.
95.9 here in the studio.
Are they like fogging it? Is that they're just trying to cook the vermin out for the rich people coming in?
That's right. A cockroach just fell out and died on the table in front of me.
Right.
And then, of course, you have the elevators, which we've enjoyed talking about the last few days. And that is when you get in the elevator that goes up and down in the Tribune Tower, instead of the floor you're on, it just says, okay.
Or sometimes they'll say the wrong floor.
Yeah.
Like they'll say 2, but you're on 7.
Here again, what is the only thing that an elevator is supposed to do? Go up and down and know which floor it's on. And I don't think ours does.
Right, but I'm sure they're up to date on inspections. I'm not worried about that at all.
96.2 now in the studio. I'm hoping to get to 100 so that I can be a true martyr.
What's your record? You got it up to 99.
Yeah, you handed it off to me one time. It was 99 in here.
Yeah.
It's now 96.3 degrees. Back to the Olympics for just a second. I got my notes over here. Pardon me, I kind of lost my thought because I was suffering in this stifling heat. One quick note as I just go through some of my notes here. Do you know what the president's Gallup approval rating is right now, by the way? It's as high as it's been in months and months and months.
I was going to say, it's going up.
It's at 40. It peaked at 45 after he was elected, after the inauguration. And then spring of last year, it was in the low 40s a lot. And then it's been in the upper 30s. But last week, it moved back up to 40. And I'm not exactly sure why. Some of his speeches may have been the reason for that. But he sure is having a terrible week this week. If you say into the fifth quarter of most presidencies, and you can look this up, after a year and into the first quarter of the next year, that would be the fifth quarter of your presidency. How do presidents do? Bill Clinton was at about 48. Barack Obama was at about 50. The Bushes did much better. George W. was at 78. And this president is at 40. I don't know if you did watch any of the Olympics last night. I am amazed at this fact. Red Gerard, you know, that kid that does the snowboarding that had two bad runs, and then he thought, well, I better just try and stick one, dude. And then he ends up winning the gold. He couldn't believe it. He could not believe it. He is so that 17-year-old kid that your son plays with, you know, who's like, what's going on, Mr. Williams? Is today Tuesday? That kid has a gold medal, and everybody loves him because he's really lovable. He's kind of a lunkhead, but in a good sort of way. He said, for instance, I didn't realize the Olympics were like such a big deal until I was in the Olympics. He looks a little bit like Danny Partridge. He reminds me of the character Big Head on Silicon Valley. If you watch that show, if you don't, do, there he is. He is the youngest person to win a gold medal in the Olympics since 1928, in 90 years. He wins the gold medal, and I don't know exactly how this happens or who makes these decisions, but then he flies to New York, a 13-hour flight, and he's on Kimmel and all of the late-night shows and all the morning shows. He's doing the media. And I thought, well, I think I would like to stay in the Olympic Village, but maybe your Olympics are over and you're just going to go home early and be with your friends. Okay, fair enough. He's actually got an event. The last weekend of the Olympics, he'll be back. He'll be back over there in South Korea snowboarding again. So he's going to go back. Well, if I was his trainer or manager, I would say, I think that's a bad plan. I'm not exactly sure what he's supposed to be doing, but he seems utterly inflappable, right? I mean, he sort of has a devil-may-care attitude, so maybe that's just as well. Olympic gold medalist, I'm now reading from Esquire.com, and teenage superstar Red Gerard has lit up the media circus this week. He's told the same story so many times, he's tired of telling it. He overslept. He had to use one of his roommate's coats. He said some curse words on TV. He likes to watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You can never tell who the Olympic star is or celebrity or personality that we're going to embrace. You thought it was going to be Nathan Chen because they told you so. There's this skater, Nathan Chen, who is himself a teenager. He's 18 years old, and he has won everything put before him in his life. He's a real good-looking guy. He seems conscientious and smart and talented, and he's been doing this since he could stand up, literally. And he was the quad master. He is the king of the quads. He does that quadruple spin in the air. He did poorly on the team event. Remember that? And so the Americans get the bronze. They thought, boy, if we're going to do well as a team, lucky us, we've got Nathan Chen, and he's going to skate in the team events. And he did pretty poorly. And then the hope was, okay, got that out of your system. He'll do well in the individuals. Well, in the short program, he did not complete a jump. He finished in, 17th place, worst among the three first-time U.S. Olympians in the field. According to the Washington Post, it left him hopelessly out of medal contention. Adam Rippon, meantime, finished in seventh place. He's 28 years old. He is the outspoken, somewhat flamboyant skater who has great attitude out there and did really well. But everybody thought this was Chen's to lose, and it looks like he lost it. I don't know how any of them do it anyway. To be honest with you, the idea that you would train for something for 4 years, and this is maybe a luxury that Gerard has because he hasn't trained for anything for 4 years. He's barely been alive for 4 years. In fact, when he was born, snowboarding. I was going to say was or wasn't an event in the Olympics, but there's something about that. Anyway, he's young. And Chen has just had this enormous pressure on him. I don't know how any of them are able to do anything when you consider that it all comes down to this jump. He completes the quad, then he doesn't do any additional jumps, and he doesn't get any points for them. And it kind of breaks your heart, and you wonder, well, what is he going to do about that? I don't know how any of them are able to do so well. And then there is that Lindsay Jacobellis. Lindsay Jacobellis, who has a silver medal in her repertoire. She's done well in the Olympics before, but when she got the silver, she was about to get the gold, and then somebody nips her at the very end. Then the next two Winter Olympics, she falls, she has these disasters, and everybody says she's the best, she's the best, she's the best. She's in the event, the cross, this is so cool, where they send six of them in snowboards down a hill, and they go for about a minute, minute and a half. Did you watch that, the cross?
No, I didn't catch it.
That's the best event there is. In fact, they should get more. It seems to me like sometimes there were four, but I know there were six in some of the heats.
What is it again?
Six of them go down this insane, jumpy, curvy track on snowboards at the same time.
Oh, yeah, I was watching that last night.
That I could watch all day because it's so nerve-wracking. You can be really good. You can be the fastest, the best. Somebody comes behind and they just knock you over. You both fall down and you're out. They don't call any fouls in that thing. If you maybe they should, but she perilously avoids all of those things, and then she's in the last heat, the championship round, right? And God, she looked nervous. You could see it on her face, and she's kind of pacing and leaning back and forth. Her face, and they were on it a lot. It's a beautiful face, but it was a picture of worry. I was just thinking, oh. Dear, I don't know what you're thinking or doing, but I don't think this is helping. And then the gate falls, and they fall down 9 feet. They just go out the gate and shoom, down a 9-foot jump.
I couldn't start that race.
Oh, my God. I told Brenda, I said, I don't think they know that it's a 9-foot fall. Otherwise, they wouldn't do this.
It's like the dogs don't know it's not a real rabbit they're chasing.
Totally. They go, okay, just trust us. We're going to do it, and you do your thing, hon. And then they go down. Halfway down, she's winning. But then some of the quicker skiers with the better wax, I'm told, are able to catch her at the very end, the snowboarders. And so she loses first place. Now she's in second place. Now she's in third place. And now she's in fourth place. And at the very end, the person who is in third just ahead of her falls. And she leans in and by 4/100ths of a second does not catch the third place. So she doesn't get a medal. She's in fourth. And when somebody has previously won a medal, to me, that's great consolation. If you can say I'm a four-time U.S. Olympian and I was a silver medalist, the rest of that is background noise to me. I guess if you said I also won a gold, that'd be great. But I don't think I would draw much of a distinction between a four-time U.S. Olympian, a silver medalist, and somebody who also happens to have the gold. I don't know if there's that much more money in it for them, for instance. But those were the thrills and the agonies of the games last night. And why NBC pushed the skating to the very end, I do not know. Your highlights or lowlights, 312-981-7200. I also liked Phil Rosenthal's column, I always do, in the Chicago Tribune today, NBC's sorry excuse for a ski analyst. I appreciate his writing, and he's smarter than me. I don't exactly agree with him on this, though. Phil wrote, "And you thought the worst thing about Bodie Miller's NBC Olympic skiing analysis was his dull, flat delivery. He talks about how Austrian skier Anna Wiethe had a knee injury. And Miller said, I just want to point out that she also got married. They were talking about her subpar performance. And so while she had a knee injury, Bodie Miller said on TV, I just want to point out she also got married. And it's historically very challenging to race on the World Cup with a family or after being married, not to blame the spouses. But I just want to toss it out there that maybe it's her husband's fault. When he said that, I was actually watching when he said that, and nobody laughed, but I immediately sensed that that was him just trying to be funny. And they'd all go, ah, ha, ha, ha. And it's easy to blame the guys. It's easy to do spouse jokes when the man is the object. If it was the reverse, I guarantee you he wouldn't throw the lady under the bus because we just don't do that. But it's always easy to make guys the mopes, the dopes, the dummies, the objects of marital humor. And that's what he was doing, and it fell flat. And then they had to apologize and make an explanation because Twitter was blowing up. I don't think they had to do anything of the kind. I get it. It's live TV. Yeah, you're trying to be humorous here, tell a story, and sometimes it just doesn't work perfectly. If you go to WGN's Facebook page, actually go to my Facebook page. If you go to my Facebook page, I'm WGN King John. There's a couple of things there, including a short video that we posted. And if you like it or share it, you'll automatically register to win a really fun event that you can participate in next Thursday. We don't tell you what the event is, but we give you a pretty good clue. And if it's something you want to do for free and come with me and that David Hochberg guy, it's all on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. We also posted on the top of my feed today all of the Illinois congressmen and women who have received contributions from the NRA, how much they got, what their NRA score is, and how you can reach out to them and tell them good job or not. That's on my Facebook page. Hey, John, I'm pretty sure the figure skating was shown live. What you saw on TV last night was live if you were watching one of the NBC channels. But the figure skating finals, Nathan Chen and them, those guys were after the news. John, the downhill skiers are going approximately 100 kilometers an hour. That's about 60 miles an hour. Some of them are going faster, some are going slower, but it's about 60 miles an hour downhill. John, I've learned to DVR the Channel 5 news because the Olympic primetime show has cut off before the skating is over. Oh, that's not good. John, you can relate the Olympic standings so well. Not the best results last night, but we still have that gal from Carpentersville left. Let me ask you this. Do you care if the United States, like when you see that the Netherlands and Germany are ahead of us in the standings, Steve, Violetta, do you care that the United States is in third or fourth place overall? Are you come on, you guys?
Come on, let's win some medals.
Yeah, are you like that?
We want to be on top.
I'm rooting for Canada. I'm a little disappointed in Canada.
I'm not rooting against the United States, but when I see that we're in fourth and the Netherlands, think about that. Per capita, They must be the most metal-rich country on Earth. In fact, Elif, look that up. Per capita medals at the Olympics.
Well, I mean, that goes back to the frozen canals.
Weren't they skating on them?
Thank you, Katie Couric. summer or winter games? What country? I'll bet you Kenya. Not real populous, but they win a lot of long distance and middle distance running events. What country has the most medals per capita? So I'm happy for them. Tiny little country, just
killing
it.
Well, it's not our fault. We have a lot of people.
I'm okay that we are not in first, second, or third place. I'm happy for the individuals anywhere on Earth. I feel that way about the winter games, less so about the summer games.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
There we go.
Here's John Williams.
How about a bright side? We'll do that in a few minutes. That is in about 30 of them. It's 208 on WGN.
Lord have mercy.
Listen, it's not about me. It's about you, the listener. So I'm not one to sit there and brag or try and be a martyr.
How hot is it?
104.
That's unbelievable.
It's 103.6 degrees.
Why are you still
there? Because, Steve, I'm better than that.
No, because
I can whip this thing.
Because you just don't want to move to a strange studio for an hour.
That's it, too. Yeah. I don't want to be. I know where my buttons are in this one. And by that, I mean there's buttons in the control room here, and I know where they are. So the funny thing is, when you're working in a hostile environment where the temperature's 104 degrees, your laptop doesn't work well.
I would be out of there so fast.
I'm amazed at how sensitive this stuff is. It's like 80 is one thing, 20 degrees. How is it like equipment stops working at 100 degrees? It should work at 100 degrees.
You should stop working at 100 degrees. So are your mic lights stuck on? Because that's happened before.
Literally, I just warned Violetta. I said, listen, I don't even know if Violetta can talk now because sometimes the stuff stops working.
I can talk.
There you are.
Well, that's good news.
Is it, or were you hoping I couldn't?
Okay, so we asked producer Elif. Elif, do you have it? We were asking what country in the Olympics wins the most medals per capita. Go.
Number one, Finland, 303. Number two, Hungary, 491. Number three, Sweden, 494. Number four, Bahamas. 14.
Yeah, that's because of Usain Bolt. So who's number one on that list? Sweden, you said, or Finland?
Finland, John.
Yeah, Finland. Finland. So the Finland wins the most medals per capita. And then the rest of those sounded like Winter Olympics. And then the Bahamas would be the Summer Games. And that's because they're, you know, for a very small country, and the Bahamas, particularly with Usain Bolt, they just tear it up. Usain Bolt runs for the Bahamas, right? He just tears it up. And so, you know, the United States doesn't.
It's not Jamaica, it's the Bahamas.
Is the Bahamas a country or is that a place? I'm really bad at this. Hey, Elif, what country is Usain Bolt from? You'll have to look that up for us. Usain Bolt runs for what country?
Jamaica.
Way to go, John. Well, it's hot in both places. Oh, just like your studio.
I think I just heard her cheat sheet in the background. It's 210 on WGN. I am fascinated/troubled by this New Yorker story that describes how this Playboy bunny may or may not have had an affair with the president. She says that she has. The president's spokespeople say that the president says he doesn't, which is an interesting way they're putting it. You'll notice that the people that are denying it for the president are sometimes unnamed, and they say the president says, they do not unequivocally say, that it did not happen. The smart people in the media are speculating that that's distancing them from the source so as to not lose any credibility they have. I'm not kidding. It's Sarah Sanders saying, well, the best information I have is we did not get the information. They may have had the information, but if you say that's what I was told, then that's what you were told. That's an important distinction.
I understand that, but it seems like
you ought to be able to trust the White House.
Well, or yes. Okay. So anyway, but you heard about this during the campaign, right? This was kind of not confirmed and out there, but there were whispers about this.
Well, just before the election, the Wall Street Journal wrote about this Playboy model. The Wall Street Journal reported about it in the Wall Street Journal had a story about McDougal. We're talking about McDougal, the Playboy Playmate, right? Okay, so they wrote about it, and then they dismissed it as fake news. But the National Enquirer evidently had the story and then killed it. That was what you reported in your news,
and
Steve.
The publisher of the Enquirer is close friends with the president, or they have a relationship.
He calls him a friend.
So the idea was that they paid for the story and then paid for exclusivity so that she couldn't tell anyone else her story.
She signs one of those agreements where right. She won't talk.
And then they don't publish it. So they essentially bought her silence.
Usually I thought when you do that, that would be the individual that is the other party of the story. You know, Donald Trump would give her $150,000 to not tell the story because it's bad for him.
Well, that's with Stormy Daniels.
So why would a third party buy the story and have exclusive rights to it, put a gag order on that individual, and then not do anything with what they bought?
Well, you read the story, right? You know more about this than I do.
Well, it's called Catch. I don't know anything about it except what I've read today. And in the New Yorker, they say this is a process called catch and kill, where you can catch the person for $150,000 and then kill the story so that it literally goes away because they won't talk about it. They signed a legal agreement and you gave them $150,000. And here again, that's what you do if you're a famous person or if you're Donald Trump and you don't want a story to get out. You'll give the person money and then they won't talk about it. But in this case, that publication was so friendly to the president that they were... Not that he was telling them to, but they were protecting him. They buy the story, silence her, and then they never print it.
Well, we don't know if he was or was not, right?
Right. Yeah, I added that because I assumed. I don't know that it said that here, that he specifically told them to do that.
I don't think there's any... I don't think so, but we don't know that...
Well, sometimes someone doesn't have to tell you not to do it, but you know you're going to get something.
Evidently. I mean, they sure had a cozy relationship. So here's another... This is on page 4 of the story today. They say that unpublished stories such as these are sometimes used to leverage some celebrities in order to pressure them to pose for the magazine or feed more stories. Several former employees of the National Enquirer said that these celebrities included Arnold Schwarzenegger and Tiger Woods. They either denied it or did not comment. But here's what you would do. You say Tiger Woods had an affair with somebody. You get the story from that woman. Say, hey, listen, we want exclusive rights to the story. We'll give you $150,000. The lady does. Now you control that story. You can do whatever you want with it. You can print it because you've got the exclusive, or you cannot, which is what they did in Tiger Woods and Arnold Schwarzenegger's case. And then they go to Tiger Woods and they say, hey, Tiger, we want you to pose for our magazine. We want an exclusive spread. I don't know what it is that you want from Tiger Woods. If he was a beautiful starlet, maybe you'd get him to pose, her to pose in a bikini or something. But you go to Tiger Woods or Arnold Schwarzenegger and we say, we've got real damning information. And granted, maybe people will dismiss it because it's a National Enquirer, but we've got the story and here's what we want. We want exclusive rights to something else from you, and if you don't give it to us, then we'll release the story that we so far caught and killed. I had no idea that journalism, or whatever you call what I just described, works. I did not know that was a thing out there, but evidently it is. They call it catch and kill. White House spokesperson said the president says he never had a relationship with Mrs. McDougal. This is an old story, just more fake news. A spokesperson said, quote, the president says he never had a relationship with McDougal. I'm now, I guess, going to start to notice that. I also noticed that McDougal's letter about this, 10 pages to the newspaper, was handwritten. That's twice this week that I've seen handwritten notes. And it may be because the recipients don't use email. Or maybe because you don't want a digital trail, so you literally write it out. But there it is in her curly cursive on lined paper, this McDougal's story, and it runs several pages. They say, yep, that's her handwriting, etc. I've thought that. Isn't it ironic in this day and age that where you're able to text and tweet and email and store documents, in some ways that works against you, doesn't it? Now you've got a digital footprint. It would be better if we went to landlines and handwritten notes, maybe folded into footballs that you then slide across the classroom.
Kick into the window.
It says Steve only with a heart on it and an arrow.
RMA.
Well, yes, if you live a sneaky life, that's the way you need to live. But if you have very little to hide, it doesn't matter that there's a digital footprint.
I've never heard of this process. I've never heard of this practice. During Trump's relationship with McDougal, she wrote, he introduced her to members of his family and took her to his private residences. In January of 2007, she says he brought her to a launch party in Los Angeles for his now defunct liquor brand, Trump Vodka. McDougal, who was photographed entering the event, recalled sitting at a table with Kim Kardashian, Donald Trump Jr., and Trump Jr.'s wife, Vanessa, who was pregnant at the time. Don't you wish you were at that party?
Wait, do that again. Who? Say that again.
At the table were this Miss McDougal. This is after the president's married, and he is, she says, carrying on with her. They're at an event where they're launching Trump Vodka. And sitting at the table are Kim Kardashian, the Easter Bunny, Donald Trump, Donald Trump Jr., Trump Jr.'s wife, Vanessa, who was pregnant at the time. At one point, Trump held the party for The Apprentice at the Playboy Mansion, and McDougal worked as a costumed Playboy bunny. We took pictures together, alone, and with his family, she wrote. But I wonder what they're going like, hey, Dad, she's real pretty. Where's Mom?
Well, so it wouldn't be their mom, right? It'd be Melania.
Whatever. But where's your wife?
That's what I was wondering about. So was she at that table for, was she part of the unveiling, or she was, if she, I know you probably don't know, but.
I do not.
If she was strictly his
date
at the time with his son and daughter-in-law?
She recalls that Trump said...
Is that shocking? I don't think if Donald Trump is your father, you question who his date to a vodka release party is.
Well, but what if he's married? I mean, wouldn't it strike you as peculiar?
Not if it's regular behavior.
Yeah, okay, but you're also suggesting that it's still regular bad behavior, right? But they're just used to it. I mean, I would quite, if my dad was at a vodka release of my dad's vodka, and by the way, it would be gin, and we would be drinking all of it. They'd say, where's the gin? And we'd say, well, we drank it all. My bad. But anyway, if we were at a release of my dad's gin, and my dad was there, and there was another pretty lady with my dad, and my mom wasn't there. Red flag! Anyway, McDougal recalls that Trump said that he had asked his son Eric, who was there, hey, who do you think is the most beautiful girl here? And Eric pointed at me. And Mr. T said, he has great taste. And we all laughed. So it sounds like she was in the group yucking it up with Donald and his kids.
Right, and Eric, who said she's the best looking there, is with his pregnant wife.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I don't know when the Trump women are going to find their voices, but when they do, they have a lot to say. It's 2:20 on WGNR. Ryan Burrow is in Florida. He was at that memorial service last night. We'll visit with him in a minute. Ryan Burrow was in Florida, and he was there for last night, that memorial service. At least that's my understanding. Ryan, you're on the air. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, and actually we are paying attention to the president's travel right now because it's our understanding that he has indicated on Twitter that he would like to come to Parkland to visit some of the victims, perhaps, maybe some of the first responders. No guidance at this point from the White House. They may be doing that purposefully. Obviously, we've got a ton of media here waiting for any kind of news or any kind of information. We don't have that right now, but the thought is at some point during this trip he would make a stop. About 40 miles away from his resort is where Parkland is, so it probably wouldn't be too difficult for him to get here, although Florida traffic on the East Coast on a Friday at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, could be interesting as well. So I'm sure that driving Secret Service nuts, I guess,
yeah.
We'll have to see what the final decision is.
Well, they can get up and down the Kennedy sometimes. I'd imagine they could get to Parkland even if they had to use a private or smaller aircraft, but I think that is appropriate that the president is there and that he console the people. And if they want to yell at him because they're frustrated, I think that's also part of the responsibility of a counselor in chief. But should he be there? Yeah, I hope he can make it. And I hope that his presence can, show some concern, offer some consolation to these people. Were you there last night, Ryan?
I was at the vigil, which was... it was pretty amazing to see a community come together. The sheriff of Broward County saying, as he looked out on just an incredible stance of people that were in front of him, that he thought there were more people there than actually live in Parkland And Parkland has 31,000 people, so I don't know that it was quite that high, but definitely thousands of people, a lot of tears. Some of the more gripping moments when the student body president of Douglas High School started reading out the names of all 17 victims, which had just been made public a few hours before. Most of the people knew who the dead were, but to hear their voices or hear their names and hear them all put together like that was very touching. I'm sure you guys saw, too, that Anthony Rizzo was there, and
yeah.
He had some words to say.
Would you describe the service as sort of a healing, or was it sort of like a call to action, we've got to get something done?
A little bit of both. I think the speakers, who included a lot of local lawmakers, politicians, people in the community, used that opportunity to say what they wanted to say. And if they felt like gun control was the big issue, they talked about that. If they felt like mental health was a big issue, they talked about that. They're still trying to understand their feelings at this point. And unfortunately, I've covered a few of these now. It takes a while. It takes a while for that voice to form. And unfortunately, when that voice forms, it may be too late. So you can see some people really trying to press and try to get their message out. Was it the appropriate time for that? I don't know. But I think we all know that the moment does pass, and it passes quite quickly.
Yeah.
If the president arrives here today and does these things, I would imagine only about half the media here tomorrow. We're coming in on a weekend. Obviously, we've got the FBI stuff going on. We've got, the investigation. We've been talking about, the president and, parent relationships. I mean, we move on, to the next thing. And so this is kind of that moment to see which direction this goes into.
Yeah, it's a shame that, and this is true in any news cycle, this isn't about Donald Trump, but our attention span is such that you say, okay, terrible school shooting, but we've done this before, and how long will we stay focused on this, and will it be long enough to actually get anything done is sure a good question. One last question before I let you go, Ryan. How did the event end last night? I heard some music today. Was there a prayer, or how did they wrap the service up last night?
Yeah, they basically, it was interfaith, so every faith went up there and said some piece or sang some song. They lit some lanterns at the end. I don't know if that was necessarily planned, but they lit about 17 lanterns and let them fly off into the air, which was a nice little touch as people were leaving. And they also, there were crosses there. There were angels placed on the stage, so pretty moving. I equate it to where I just was a few months ago, the Las Vegas shooting, when the police officers vigil. It was very, very similar in bringing the community together, trying to struggle through the pain and figure out how to move forward.
WGN Radio's Ryan Burrow reporting from Florida for ABC News. Ryan, thanks. We'll visit with you again.
All right, take care.
Thank you, Steve. It's 2:38. This is WGN. Is this Portugal the Man?
Yes.
Name one other song by, in fact, name this song by Portugal the Man.
I don't know the name of it, but I know a couple of their others. Very familiar, but this one's overexposed now. I think they're from New Zealand, right? Or
what about Portugal?
I'm going to guess Portugal. No. What with it being Portugal the Man and all?
You're wrong.
Ella picks out the 2:38 music on Fridays. Where's Portugal the Man from, E? I kind of like this, though. Portugal the Man is, of course, from Alaska.
I don't think so. Are they?
Yeah, that's what it says on the Google.
Oh, from Wasilla. Okay.
Are you kidding? This band is from Sarah Palin's hometown?
There aren't many big towns in Alaska.
Hey, there's only one Sarah Palin, though. Boy, we sure haven't heard from her in the longest time, have we? Where is Sarah Palin now?
Still in Alaska.
In fact, that's her on the...
Something. On the baser, what are you trying to say?
It doesn't matter.
That's her
in the band, on the triangle, on the cowbell. Portugal the Man is at the Aragon Ballroom tonight at 7:30. Tickets at aragonballroom.org. They go for $77. which is funny because they got nothing but money in Alaska. You'd think they could bring the price down. Ocean is at Shuba's tonight at 9 o'clock. Tickets are just $15. At this concert, you'll hear the infusion of acoustic and computerized sounds. Ocean at Shuba's tonight. Shark Tank the Musical is at the Annoyance Theater tonight at 8 o'clock. Tickets go from $15 to $20. What else did you know? Call 773-697-9693. It's just what it sounds like. It's a musical about Shark Tank. Adventures in Storytelling is at the Vidim Theater tomorrow at 7 o'clock. You'll pay up to $30 to see it. It's a festival curated by Adventure Stage Chicago of culture, language, storytelling, and workshops. You want more to do in Chicago this weekend? How about the Chicago Auto Show at chicagoautoshow.com over at McCormick Place? About 1 million square feet and thousands of cars and three, what do they call them, road test tracks. Yeah. You were over there, right? How was that?
It was really cool, and they have a new one. I think Kia has a new test track. I didn't get on it, but it looks pretty interesting.
What was there a car that you went, oh, man, if I could just have that one? And don't say a minivan.
I do like minivan. A captain seat makes you feel very powerful, but I've always wanted a G-Wagon. It's pretty basic for a girl, but...
Okay. All right. Fine.
What are you laughing about?
We were looking for something a little sexier, a little funnier.
Let me tell you something. Sitting in a captain seat in a minivan is anything but power.
I rented a minivan once and I loved it. It was a red minivan. The doors open by itself.
No, you have to have what comes with the minivan to lose your power.
Also going on this weekend, Bead Quest 2018, the 10th annual Wrigleyville Mardi Gras Bar Crawl. So if this weekend you see a bunch of people stumbling around Wrigleyville with silly clothes on, drinking way too much during the day, A, that could be any weekend in Wrigleyville, but in this case, it's
Bead
Quest.
Well, you got to earn your beads.
2018.
Also, it's Chinatown's ringing in Chinese New Year.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. I saw a story about that. So that's stuff going on down there, I guess.
Yeah,
huh?
It's going to be fun.
You know, we should do when we do this segment. We'd like to just sort of highlight things that are going on over the weekend in the city and suburbs. If there's something you want us to point out, text it to 312-981-7200. Say, hey, John, we're all going to the...
Hot chocolate run?
Right, or the Cheese Fest in Naperville. I don't know what it is, but if you got something you want to plug and promote and we all should know about it, text it to 312-981-7200. We're about to do our bright side. We always do this on Fridays at this time. I'll pause, and during the break, it's your cue to call or text 312-981-7200. Marcia Lyle just strolled into the WGN Radio downstairs studio. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, John.
Marcia's on our sales staff. She's one of the folks that keeps that thing running so well up there.
That's right.
She comes down and reads the texts for us because we're all very busy during the bright side.
I help keep everything organized.
How do you like it in the studio today?
Oh, it's very nice and warm in here today.
You're looking at the bright side there.
You know, that, ladies and gentlemen, is the bright side. It is 106 degrees in this studio. That's not an exaggeration. We have a digital thermometer here that we look at when it's fun. And so while it just dropped to 102. You can feel the air conditioning.
Yeah, I just felt something kicking.
No,
a little breeze.
You can feel Roe coming in.
Well, that's what you do. You go, I can do a show at 106. Roe can't, and we all know that. So it's not, can John do it? It's, what are we going to do at 3 o'clock? That's the deadline. That's the finish line.
Right.
3 o'clock.
John's fine.
John is. Okay, so 312-981-7200. Call or text. Marcia will read your texts. I'll take your calls. We want to hear your good news next on WGN. There we go.
Some things in life are bad.
I got an open phone line. Really, you'll get in if you call 312.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
981-7200.
When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side.
We do this on Fridays. Call and tell us some... And Marcia whistles along. We say, give us some good news. Tell us why you're smiling, and we will smile with you. We could all use that about now, couldn't we? All right, ladies first. Marcia, you just strolled into the studio. What's your bright side?
Well, My bright side is I actually reserved a spot for a movie tomorrow to see Black Panther.
Oh, I'm so stoked about that. I never go to these movies.
Yeah.
These, you know, the comic Marvel? Book Marvel mm-hmm. movies. Mm-hmm. I'm stoked about this
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. Also, my birthday, Violetta, is coming up next week, so we have another February baby in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, when's your birthday?
It's the 24th.
Violetta, when's yours?
The 22nd, but I celebrate all month.
We noticed that. Violetta, what's your bright side?
Well, it's my birthday month for first.
Right.
Second, I'm going to a wine and cheese class, and I've been looking forward to it. So,
here's my bright side. My bright side is the White Sox.
Always look on the bright side.
My bright side is the White Sox are on WGN Radio. I am stoked. And all of my White Sox friends are like, yes. And my Cubs friends are like, okay, let's go. This is going to be fun. It's about time I think this radio station did a better job of embracing the South Side in every way, including that baseball team down there. And we're really looking forward to this season. Baseball is back on WGN. Steve Bertrand, what's your bright side?
My son will be gainfully employed all summer long.
Wow.
Got the news this week.
Paying taxes and everything like a real American.
Right.
Elif, what's your bright side?
One of my plans got canceled this weekend, and I'm really happy I can just spend the alone time.
Sometimes nothing is a really good thing. All right, let's pick up some phone lines. We'll start with Jerry. You're on WGN. Jerry, jump in here. Why are you smiling, sir?
It's the lady, and I'm smiling, A, because I get to listen to you, but B, because I lost my wallet yesterday with over $300 in cash in it, and I got it returned today with every cent. The sad news is it was anonymous return, so I did not get to reward the person.
Jerry, thanks for the call. Good news. Read one, Marsh. What do you got on the text screen?
All right. Coming from 708. Lifetime Sox fan, and I won't have to change stations since the Sox are on WGN Radio.
Hey, Tom, you're on WGN. What's your good news, my friend?
Great. On Valentine's Day, my lovely bride of 40 years and I got to finally see Hamilton.
What was...
Fantastic. Better than I thought.
When you're feeling
Cowboy Tommy, thanks for the call. Hey, Matt, you're on GM. What's your bright side, my friend?
Hey, Johnny. King John, my bright side is that I got out early and I beat the majority of the traffic. Yeah.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Pick up another phone line. Let's go to, I think it's Carol is next. I'm trying to figure out what mine that is. I think it's this one. Hey, Carol, you're on WGN.
Hi, John. My bright side is we are able to watch our son's work on Snapchat. He edited and was produced some of the Chasing Gold Olympic promos on Snapchat. So it's been fun seeing his work.
Wow, Carol, congrats. Pick up another phone line. Let's go to, I'm having trouble with my phones today. I think this is Bob. Bob, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Well, my bright side is like yours and the other callers in that the White Sox are going to be on WGN, which is absolutely phenomenal. And it will be even brighter, John, if Dave Ennett and the sports crew can get a new play-by-play guy for we White Sox fans. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'll run that by management. Thank you for the call. Thank you, Bobby. Marcia, read another one.
Okay, 630. I'm 66 and I quit my job of 12 years 2 weeks ago, scared to death because I have no money or retirement, but actually I am so relieved and so much less stressed.
Amen to that.
Amen.
This is Jan. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Jan? You're on the air.
I'm smiling because my last youngest child got a job. I don't have to pay his bills anymore.
Beautiful thing. Hey, Lori, you're on WGN. Give me some good news.
Hi, we were married 32 years yesterday. It was our anniversary, and we got engaged after 4 weeks of knowing each other. No one thought it would last us long, and we still love each other.
That's funny, because I don't remember any of that. But when did that happen again? Oh, it's you and your husband.
We were married yesterday, 32 years.
Congrats. What a nice story. Happy days to you all.
Thank you.
And that's to love and smile and dance and sing.
253. Read another one, Marsh.
From 630. My husband is out of town on a business trip, so I get to eat and watch whatever I want for the next couple of days.
eyes look up. Hey, Vicki, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Vic?
Well, 7 weeks ago, I had shoulder surgery, and Tuesday, I was able to take off the sling and the splint, and now I can zip up my own pants.
Which is really a good thing, isn't it?
It is.
Vicki, thanks for the call. All right, your turn, Marcy. Give me one.
Well, from 815, my goats are healthy.
You know, if you got goats, you only have two kinds of goats, the healthy goats and the not healthy goats. Which one do you want? You want the healthy goats. Hey, Donna, you're on the air. Why are you smiling?
My husband and I are leaving on Wednesday to go to Hawaii to visit our daughter who lives in Kauai.
Good timing. Good daughter. Good Kauai. Yes, yes, nicely
yes.
done.
I'm a Sox fan, and I discussed it with you before. Not easy to be in Chicago.
It's going to be a lot better, my friend.
Yes, it is. Yes.
If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten.
Hey, Mary, this is John. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling?
Well, because my sunglasses are on, I'm in my car, and it's a beautiful, sunny day.
That's all it takes. That's all it takes. It's not snowing. It's not super cold. Hey, Marcia, give me another bright side.
Well, area code 224, he gets to see that it's a sunny day. Doug from Mount Prospect thought he was going blind on Monday. Thanks to the doctors of Northwest Community Hospital, that saved his vision.
Hey, John, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, my friend?
John, my bright side is I live in Tempe, Arizona. Spring training is underway, and I can listen to WGN on my Amazon Echo. Give
the audience. Let's go from John to Charlie on line five. Hey, Charlie, you're on WGN. Give me some good news, Chuck.
Hey, we're living the American dream. I paid my mortgage off last month, and I can tell Wells Fargo to take a hike.
I want to be that someday. I want to pay off a house. What is that even like? Do you just walk around clicking your heels, man?
Well, I thought I was going to have money ahead, but now that money I got, I can pay for my affordable health care insurance, which is not affordable.
This is the bright side. This is the bright side, Charlie.
I know. In the dumps.
I read another one to us, Marcia.
847, John, I leave for a cruise with my wife at 6 a.m. tomorrow. No kids, woohoo!
We do this on Fridays. We ask you to call in, tell us some good news. There's only one rule, and I kind of broke it. There's only one rule about the bright side. What's the one rule?
No judgment.
No judgment. No judging. No judging. If it's that making you happy, then we are happy you're happy. Judy Pilax in the newsroom getting ready for the 3 o'clock edition of WGN Radio News. Judy sometimes likes to chime in, but she's usually pretty busy about this time. Judy, do you have a bright side you want to share with the whole class?
I get HBO free this weekend.
No kidding.
I was just talking about it.
Does everybody get that? Is that a promotion?
I'm going to binge on so many. Well, I don't know. I'm AT&T, and I'm too cheap to buy it until Game of Thrones starts.
Exactly.
But I forget I like Veep and a lot of other shows.
You need to just like mega download and record
everything.
Oh, I'm going to
binge all weekend.
No
yeah.
kidding.
After this week of news, I need a break.
That's why we do The Bright Side. Sponsored this time by Joint Relief Institute. Ro and Anna get ready to stroll in. Marcia, thanks for coming in, Ms. Lyle.
Not a problem.
By the way, I'm WGN King John on Facebook. WGN King John on Facebook. There's a cool video we just posted with me and David Hochberg. Just like or forward that Facebook post. Just share it, and you'll automatically register to win a really fun night Thursday. Hochberg and I are taking you to do something fun. What is it? We won't say. But if you don't want to go, and by that I mean,
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I'll be honest with you.
your mic's on, Ro.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
So we'll announce the winners on Monday, and if you can't go or don't want to, then say no. But I would recommend that you sign up.
Okay. Yeah. People should sign up, and then if you win, just alert your next of kin that if you don't get if they don't hear from you within 2 hours.
David and I are doing one of those knife throwing things, and we need people to hold the apples. And if that's not your cup of tea,
well,
fine.
Do you remember they were doing that thing with axes here, right? That was short-lived.
That was a sort of, hey, let's all get together as a staff and do something fun for building. I love those things, and we do a lot of them here. They did axe throwing.
Yeah.
They did axe throwing.
Yeah, that's not a good thing to give radio people access.
You were the only person they asked, though, to hold the apple. That was
weird.
Red flag.
It's weird. On my head, too. I thought that was very weird.
What are you doing, Rob?
All right. Well, I am. We got a lot going on here, obviously. You now have the indictment of the three Russian nationals for meddling in the United States presidential
election. Why do I see the number 13? What's the 13 in that? There's 13 I also see. Hey, Judy, do I see 13 or 3?
That's
you said
13.
3.
13. I said 13. And then it's 3 companies.
Did I say 13?
3 companies.
13 people, 3 companies.
Got it. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought I said 13. All right, but it's 13 individuals, 3 companies who have been indicted. What does this mean? It's a really interesting story because, you know, Robert Mueller, this is not his first rodeo. So this is not where this ends. This is actually where this begins.
Still doesn't mention anybody in the Trump campaign. Still doesn't mention it. They said
Gates just is cooperating. He's
cooperating, but nobody in this indictment, to my knowledge, Rob.
No one has
been named specifically.
Correct.
They said they unwittingly may have caught some people in the campaign communicating with
unwittingly. Uh-huh. All right, fine. All right, we'll find out about that. Susie Sunshine will be here to talk about your money, make sure that it's all okay. And Mr. Skilling says it's going to be 50 degrees very soon here in Chicago. And it's 500 in the studio. So this is very good. It's a beginning.
You noticed that.
Right there. And, of course, we got a Carnival Wagon rolling. We've got live music from Remington Pettigrove. And we have got a lot of – and Mr. Richard Roper is filling in today.
So I'm glad to hear that. I follow him on Twitter.
Yes, there you go.
A lot of people do. All right, we'll have a really good show.
Thank you very much.